Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, it's Transformational Tuesday. Woo-hoo! So glad everybody's here to join us tonight. We want to thank our international audience as well. It's so nice to have us all over the world. It's coming from a new place of wanting to transform, and isn't that wonderful? So, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Well, Mr. Jamie, he's scooting up a little right at the last second. Jamie, calling from Seattle. He's doing
That's
okay.
Right.
I'm doing okay.
We're glad for you to be scooting in, and glad for you to be representing the Seattle, lovely Seattle area. Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
I am doing great. Thanks so much for asking.
It's so great for you to be with us, and always greatly appreciated. And, you know, we're going to go ahead tonight and be talking to a special guest chef. We have Miss Lori Sierra. Lori is a certified relocation and transition specialist. That sounds like a mouthful, doesn't it? She's also the co-owner of Caring Transitions for the greater Riverside area. And Caring Transitions is a nationally known professional resource for personal property liquidations and relocation services. That sounds like just a mouthful. What it really is what does Caring Transitions really do, Lori? And welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Robin. Caring Transitions does primarily three services. We focus on helping seniors when they downsize. Usually it's into a senior community. It could be apartments, assisted living. Sometimes it's a nursing care facility. But then we also go and help them liquidate anything that they can't move into there. So a lot of times people have 40 or 50 years of stuff accumulated and they can't take it all with them. So we do estate sales and we also do online auctions. Those are our two methods for liquidating personal property.
Okay. And right before we got live, I thought it was so great. We were talking about transitions and transformation, and you were saying that those are your favorite words. Why is that?
Yes. Well, I think we're always in some state of transition in our lives because it's just kind of a seamless movement. But we're always transitioning to something new. And then transformations, I just love it because it's always evolving and getting better. Potential to be getting better. And I love working on transforming, you know, physical space too. So, so it's just sort of a thing I've always enjoyed doing.
Yeah, because one of the things that Caring Transitions does, they also do a lot of staging for different stuff,
yes,
depending what they're doing when it comes to the estate sales and things like that. So I know Lori from my network. Let's Network in Riverside, California. It's a networking business group. And she came in a few months ago. And I just really love the concept and just the love and care that really comes from what she offers. And it's actually a pretty new company. They've only been in existence since, you said, 2006. So that's
pretty
new.
Correct.
Yeah, and started it back in Ohio, which was really, really nice, too. So just to kind of give a little bit of back history, if anybody's interested, we've got a couple different shows that have been dealing with transition and working with our stuff. So if you look at our TC227, back we had Michelle and Mercedes on, and we were doing Breaking Away from Clutter, which is a really great thing. And then also earlier this year on show 216, we did simplification or simplicity, the joy of less. So, part of what I think what we're talking about tonight is about a part of less, but this is just more than clutter, right?
Oh, yes. I always say we come into our lives kind of bare naked and with nothing. And we exit very similar. And in between, we accumulate a lot of things. And it seems like, you know, the latter part of our life, we start to disperse those items, usually the family members, you know. And then a lot of times folks are surprised because you know, our grandkids, they don't want our stuff, and we don't understand. We cherished it. We love these things. We don't understand why they don't love these things. But ultimately, they can't go with us. So we all have to deal with the fact that, you know, we have things we need to either find somebody new to love, or, you know, we can't take them with us.
Yeah, so the name of the show tonight is called The Art of Right-Size Living, and I think that's just right-size living, like you said, with transformation.
Or the great garage sale in the sky. You know, I love this topic. I really love this topic. This is a really good topic, yes.
Okay, good. Well, that's the reason why we're a cafe and we've got people scooted up to the table to be making comments. So,
well, there's a comment. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in.
No, do not be sorry. That's wonderful.
Oh.
So, Lori, how did you be a part of the Caring Transition? How did you get into that?
Well, I had a long career, 35 years in the newspaper industry, and that has, you know, shrunk down to almost nothing. But when I look back, I've always been rearranging furniture and, you know, even in the office environment, I always orchestrated all that stuff. So I just can't seem to walk into a room without rearranging it. So that's sort of the seed. And then I come from a family of collectors of things. And so I learned a lot about organizing from my mom. And it just seems like it's a genetic thing in our family. And when newspapers were imploding and I was looking around, I actually was looking at becoming a stager, professional stager for real estate, but my daughter and son-in-law found Caring Transitions and it brought the moving part of it. We've all moved a bunch in our family too. Moving along with the estate sale side, which we had some experience with when my mom passed away, we had to liquidate her estate, and we all pulled together and did such a good job that people were asking us all the time if we could help them do it. So They are the ones that searched it out and found the company and said, we found the perfect fit. And I was spending, you know, a couple hours, 3 hours a day on the freeway commuting to my job in West Covina. So I really needed a way to get back home and see more of my family. And now I'm in business with them. So it all has worked out.
Know, see what you forget, you know, watch out what you ask for, you know.
I know.
I think you may need to franchise this, you know.
It is franchise.
It is a franchise.
This is actually.
Yes.
She's the co-owner of the Riverside County area. Yeah.
This is
the first one in California, right?
Right.
Wow.
And
there's the first one in California. Yeah, so. There you go, Jamie. Your next man, you could be in
wide open territory out there, you know. Come on now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There's a lot of old people out there. Come on now. No, I'm just joking.
And it's growing.
But everybody's
growing
getting older.
Year. Yeah, all the baby boomers are deciding to, you know, they're all picking up their.
You know, heaven knows, I have so much stuff, and who knows what's going to happen. There you go.
There you go, Will.
And I'm only 55.
let's get into this. So
that's a different topic.
Size,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but not really. It's kind of the same
topic.
The Art of Right-Sized Living, one of the first things. There's a wonderful handout that Lori provides to her clients, and it was the first one's called it's right sizing, of course, since we're talking about right sized living, but there's really five keys to that, and I thought it'd be really great if we could kind of walk through that a little bit. So what is right sizing and why is that so important, Lori?
Well, right sizing is just about, you mentioned it before, decluttering your environment so that you're using the space that you have to live in. You know, if you've got a home where you've got rooms in it that you no longer go into and they're just collecting dust, you'll find you're sitting around staring at things you start living in the past. So I remember when we used to dine in there or use that room, and now it's just collecting dust, and that becomes a stress because you're not getting in there and cleaning it. Maybe you can't get in there. But if you have the right, a lot of people have maybe an 1,800 square foot, 2,500 square foot home, and then later in life, they're really only living in 500 square feet of it. So So once we get them moved into a proper sized environment, the stressors go away, they're safer, and they just are more comfortable. But the process to get there is the challenge, and you have to determine how much space either A is included in the place they're moving to, or if they're just out searching, how big of a space do they need? And that all starts with us going in and assessing how they're living, looking at where do you spend most of your time? And, you know, a lot of times it's a recliner chair and a television and, you know, not a whole lot of stuff. And maybe they have medical equipment that they need to now accommodate. So we just take a whole assessment of that for them. And then we walk them through step two, which is, you know, we decide what they need, their bed or their recliner, the things that they do need for daily living. And then we add to that the third part, which is the things they love. And sometimes, you know, like our first client we moved, her thing she loved was her custom draperies. And, you know, I pulled those draperies down. We did it as a surprise to her. She didn't know they were going to go over, but we pulled them down, took them to my garage, cut them down, stapled them back up, got them all fixed up and installed them so that when she came into her apartment with it all resettled, she was made her cry, and it was great. So we added a little bit of what
I bet you've just, with every client, you probably have some special story that goes right along with them.
Oh, my God. We love the stories. That same client, it brings us into the next step, which was, you know, bring a little bit of what you want. Maybe it's a little bit of a luxury, but she had this jar of red dirt, and it's from the soil in her home state. And it's been with her whole life, and she's in her 80s. And, I mean, I knew instantly that red dirt's coming with us. And it not only came with us, but we staged it to be, you know, the one thing on the most prominent shelf. So when she walked in, she's like, oh, my dirt. It was awesome.
My dirt. That's the title of the story. Oh, my dirt. There we go.
Yeah.
That's but, you know, I guess, like you said, that, you know, it's who I am. It's home because I have that, you know, the where I come from. That's just, it's so meaningful in so many ways. Oh, my gosh. That's wonderful.
And being, okay, and you know, being that we're not in her family, we're outsiders. So we're coming in with fresh eyes and meeting our clients. And we really get to know them well, obviously, in a short amount of time. But it's easy with fresh eyes to pick out those things that are unique to that individual. And they may not even realize it. You know, like, oh, well, that's definitely coming because that's a unique thing to that individual and I'm going to put it on display. And then that makes it feel like home when they get settled in.
Yeah. Oh, that's so wonderful.
And, so, and the last thing we do, the last step of that whole process is to modify space for safety and convenience. Because it's really, I mean, falls are one of the top producers of, you know, broken hips and land people in the hospital. And sometimes it's horrible what can happen if it's an unsafe environment. So
what's the number one thing when it comes to safety like that? If you're looking at space and safety, what's the number one thing? Is it those little throw rugs and stuff like that, I would imagine?
Yeah,
like that.
Rugs kind of need to go. It depends if they're, a lot of them don't want to use the walker that they know they need to use. And that's with some of them, it's a pride thing. And if we know they're not going to use their walker, then we're going to position their furniture so they can use it like a walker. And but we tell them, you need to use your walker. But there are folks who just don't. But they need to be able to, I mean, sometimes, like, there's a client we're working on her move right now, and they're modifying the doorway. She's moving into a mobile home, and we need to widen the doorways for her to be able to get her wheelchair through there. And you know, it's got to be safe. So we do everything according to the American Disabilities Act requirements, and we stage to that depending on what their, you know, individual needs are.
Okay, cool. So we had space, you know, what is needed, and then what they love and what they want, and then the space and safety of the whole thing, you know. And gosh, those are five important keys to just, you know, the art of right-sized living is, it sounds pretty simple, but yet, you know, like you're saying, with fresh eyes and being able to look at it, it can be that special thing that just makes it home, which is just really, really wonderful. So we're going to get into the, you know, we got into this with Mercedes and Michelle too, about, you know, when to let it go. You know, there's a whole category of all different things here. So when it comes to
that's
things like that, you know,
one.
what's the biggest challenge when it comes to, you know, working with people and helping them to let things go?
Well, a couple of things come to mind. The, you know, what people believe about their things, it sounds heavier, but, you know, if a lot of folks have outlasted their spouse, let's say their spouse has passed away and they have the flag and their memories and memorabilia. And we even had a client who had outlasted her son. Unfortunately, her son had passed away before her. And she actually put ashes in the paint and painted his bedroom wall with it. It's really kind of out there. But she had a really hard time leaving that home because she felt he was there. And so, you know, we talk about, well, where is he really? He's in your heart, he's in your memories. And, you know, we just try to help her through that process. And she did fine. But, you know, on the more practical side, we kind of have a list we run through, you know, helping them if it's broken and stuff that we think is, you know, pretty common sense, but you'd be surprised. Obviously, clothes, we look at, you know, when's the last time you wore this? I just moved a dozen pair of off-white pants for a woman, and I know she won't wear them, and it took up a lot of space, but I could not get her to part with them. I got her to go down to 4 pair, but one for each season. But, and I'm talking, she had a rainbow of colors of pants in her closet. And it just, you know, it's just a process with each person. It's a little bit different, but we do give them a list so that they can, you know, we leave that with them after we meet with them, but before we come to pack, so that they have time to, you know, get used to the idea. And, you know, most of the time when we come back to go pack them, they've already done a lot of that work, and we're really proud of them because it is a process they have to go through.
So what kind of a timeline do you guys, what's the timeline when you normally meet somebody and then you come back and actually help them to start downsizing?
Well, it's
right-sizing,
it depends.
I should say right-sizing.
You know, there's, we've been called, is there any way you can do this? You know, it of course it depends on your staffing and schedule, but usually we're looking at about a month timeline where we get a call and we go in and meet with them within a couple of days, and maybe the pack isn't for a week or two. That's pretty common. And then when we do finally come into pack, we minimize the timeline between when we show up and pack them until we leave and they're fully resettled in their new place. Ideally, and to date, it's never lasted longer. It's always within 24 hours. So we usually go pack them one afternoon. We move the big stuff the next morning and unpack them, make their beds, hang their pictures. Everything is done. When they come into that new home, it's completely settled for them. And it's kind of like the HGTV reveal, you know, when they love it. And it's like, oh my God, it's all behind them now, and they can go on with all their custom stuff together.
That's just amazing to me that you guys do that in such a short amount of time. You know, but I think
it's
that's
all
good
planning.
All planning. And, you know, I think that on itself is just like, that's a show on itself of like, how would you, you know, staging all that kinds of stuff. You know, it takes a village. It takes a village,
yes,
I'm sure, to get that whole thing moved and everything like that. So what are there certain, like with the category of, you know, when letting go, is there certain things more than others that just seems to be always the bigger challenge for helping people to let go of stuff?
You know, Not really. Nothing really sticks out that's a point. I mean, if it's a lot of people have a lot of photos hanging on their wall, which is great. Mm-hmm. I can do a nice photo display, but a lot of times we'll take them and put them in photo albums for them. Or, you know, a lot of them haven't gone into the tech world. Some of them have, but some of them haven't. I love those digital photo displays that rotate. You know, do a slideshow. Those are really nice because they can, we're always trying to find smaller ways of showing important things. But, you know, there's a lot of furniture issues come up. You know, they want to bring a quart into a pint-sized jar. I mean, it's just inevitable that I'm going to have to make the call that we cannot take the wagon wheel coffee table, you know, or whatever. There's always some piece of furniture we have to leave out. But I don't ever just say it like that. I say, okay, we have to make a choice. You can choose between this or that, but we can't fit both. And then they mm-hmm. do it. So, mm-hmm. but there isn't really one item that's clearly everybody can't leave. Because we'll usually find a way to bring it if it's that important.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because I've heard that, you know, when it comes to choices, anything more than three things just overwhelms people. So the fact that, you know, you've got two things or three things, is just out of these three things, you have to pick one thing. You know, people usually can make a choice when it comes to something like that. So it's like, wow, just, you know, dealing with that on just a psychological level. My goodness. That's a skill
in
itself, I'm sure. Yeah.
One of these things is not like the other.
You start getting into Sesame Street, huh? Does that relate really well? We're all dating ourselves. You know that's a Sesame Street. Okay. Yeah.
It is. I always I separate seniors into two categories. There's junior seniors, which are really baby boomers, and then there's senior seniors. Right. And junior seniors can handle three things. We can make a choice between three things. But when it comes to seniors, I always say, which of these three do you like the least? And we knock it out because they can choose between two. So just a little tip there.
Okay. You know, and I just want to say, is that a generational thing? I think, you know, when it comes to, you know, where, you know, your mindset was with how you were being raised during that time period when you were getting, you know, moving up, like you said, with a senior as opposed to a junior senior, you know, what was going on with, you know,
I know that my mom was growing up during the Depression at that time, and you did not get rid of anything because you didn't know if you could afford to buy something more.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Right. We don't get rid of things. We find new people to love them, or we find new people who need them. And then it's easier to let them go.
So it's the perspective. It's not necessarily, it's mm-hmm. the verbiage and perspective of how you put things when it comes to your belongings. Yeah. Yeah.
But I
Question. If the baby boomer is that traditionally from 1945 till what's the 1960, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The edge.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know, what would you call that then?
I think that's another show, though.
That's another show, right. I'm just trying to figure out the cutoff date there, because you keep saying baby boomer, and I'm like, hey.
Yes, you're a boomer.
I'm a young boomer.
Yes, you're a young boomer. Oh, there you go. We call them young boomers. There you go.
Right.
They're junior, senior.
Young boomer.
Young
boomer. Yeah, young boomer.
Well, I'm on almost at the cutoff level, but who knows? I feel young.
Well, and I think, isn't that true, Lori? I mean, no matter who you're dealing with, it's still that young person inside, right? No matter how old you are, you have this sense of yourself of who you are. And, you know, as I get older, I just so appreciate that. When somebody talks about their sense of themselves, you really get that as you are older. You're like, I don't feel any different. I feel like I'm about, you know, maybe 30, you know, even though you're pushing 60, you still feel like you're 30 inside. It's very interesting. Yeah.
It's very, very relative because I can tell you, Jimmy and I have met 100-year-old people's Gladys comes to mind, and she is just tack sharp and doing great. And she's, you know, I mean, then I see folks like my own mom. She passed away at 67. You would have thought she was 90. And I think it was just, you know, I don't know. I mean, it makes you think about, well, why is that so? Some people do better than others, and they have a great attitude. I know that's a factor, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that some people have said that it's just a matter of, you know, do you get defined by your age or who you are? You know, because lots of times people, they look at their generations of what their mom and dad were doing at the age of 60 or 70 or whatever, and that's like their picture in their head of where they should be instead of just being their own sense of their own identity. You know, and like, mm-hmm. this is me at this age, and I don't know what that looks like because it's me, you know, and not you looking at other people to be the model of something like that. We should never model anybody when it comes to something like that, because it's who you are and what you're doing. Yeah, I want to hang out with 100-year-olds that are so, you know, sharp and handling it really, really well. Well, we want to make sure that, you know, we've got about 4 minutes left, so we want to make sure to talk about the benefits of the professional estate sale as opposed to just doing it yourself. And, you know, and you're the perfect person to talk about this, considering you did it for your mom. You know, what's the benefits of going on a professional level and letting you guys handle it, you know, instead of doing it yourself?
Well, first of all, a true estate sale, and sometimes people think garage sales or estate sales, but an estate sale really typically means someone's passed away and we're liquidating the whole house. And in that case, a professional company, the number one benefit is there is no emotional tie to the stuff. It is really taxing to go through all that stuff. It's fun at the beginning, and it's good for grieving to go through and process things and remember and, you know, all that. But by day two or three, oh, my God, it's overwhelming. So an outsider can come in and just go through it very, very, and it's respectful. There's nothing that we do that isn't respecting. It's just we can look at it as a job site and go a little quicker and get the job done and get things rolling. So we typically, though, for that reason, like to work without family members hovering because it is hard on them and it does slow us down. It takes us at least 3 to 5 times longer if we have an audience, so to speak. So we wait until they're ready. We don't push anybody. We wait. But we do a very professional marketing job. We advertise heavily. We display our stuff. It's cleaned. It's staged. It's beautiful. And that brings the price of the items up because we've already vetted out the junk. We donate it out. We get rid of the stuff that needs to go ahead of time. So what's left are really good treasures. And then we have a huge, any company has a following. We work very hard at growing that following. And it has resellers, collectors, all kinds of folks that will come. They line up. They love us. They come in. They buy. We have a great time. And so we end up selling the items for more than they would get if they had done it themselves. Plus, you know, if you need 20 to 50 tables and tablecloths, you don't have to go out and rent them. So I think, you know, a professional company, we earn every penny that we charge always and then some. But we also do those auctions, and those are a nice solution if you have a gated community or maybe not a whole house of stuff or not a great location with parking. Auctions work really, really well. In fact, the last one we did better than any physical estate sale we've had. So those are an up-and-coming way to liquidate. So,
well, is an auction a little more fun?
They're all fun.
A little more exciting. Yeah, I bet they're exciting, you know, considering, you know, you do for the value on something and then to see where it goes. I bet that's just so exciting.
It is. I mean, we love, you know, the hardest thing is to sell pianos and pool tables and sewing machines. But boy, when we sell one, we're so excited because the person who bought it, we know really, really wants it. So, it's fun.
Then, you know, it's going to a good home because they're willing to fight for it for a little bit. You know what I mean? They've got the synergy that goes behind all that. So we've got about a minute. And I also want to remind everybody, if you have any questions or comments, you know, make sure to be leaving it with the show, and I can make sure that Lori can get a hold of you guys, and we might do a follow-up show, depending what we have for different kinds of questions and things like that. So how do they get a hold of you, Lori?
Well, they can reach me by calling our office number, which is 951-266-6187, or you can check out our website at caringtransitionsriverside.com.
Okay, that sounds like, you know what, I think you need to be writing a book. A book would be awesome to go along with your stuff. No, really, maybe even a blog or something where people could, could be checking in on just some of these wonderful stories about, and, you know, it makes people feel like it's a wonderful thing to be going through these right-sized living. My life, like you're saying, we were just talking about transitions and transformations, and have it be something that's just a new way of looking at my life and really taking, you know, the soil of my youth into my, you know, into my older years, and being able to still feel like I've got home, because that's really what matters for everybody. Yeah.
Yes,
so thank you, Lori.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll see you guys next time here at the Transformation Cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.